Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Don Yee. And Don, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Doing well, Ken, and happy to be on with you and Jason.
Thanks, appreciate. Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. So for people who haven't read your piece in The Atlantic, this is an interesting time for college athletes. And I guess my takeaway is that they have an opportunity to maybe get more than what they're getting right now if they could get organized.
Yeah, Jason, yeah, there's been it's been a long time coming where there's needed to be great innovation and actually reform to the current system. The current system really has been built upon the backs of essentially the sport of football and just a group of young men, generally ages 18 to 22. And with their performance every year, significant revenues come in to these universities. Once the revenues come in, the rest of the money is then dispersed to administrators, coaches of non-revenue sports, and to support all of the other non-revenue sports themselves, which actually form the backbone of the U.S. Olympic program. Yeah. So when you're watching a college football game, particularly in the Power Five, you're watching people engage in work, generate revenue. They don't see the cash revenue whatsoever, but that cash revenue goes on to support even larger industries and the livelihoods of a lot of adults.
Don, we're in a unique time in this country's history, and we're seeing young people mobilize and create movements and fight for change, and it's along myriad issues, but it seems like people are finding their voice. You have sort of a length and breadth of decades where you've been interacting with these young people as you've signed many of them to help usher them into their professional careers. Are you more optimistic now about them maybe coming together, coalescing, and using that voice in unison to affect some change, to try to get some compensation, to try to alter these rules so they're a little bit more, hopefully a lot more, player friendly and not all skewed in favor of the universities and conferences?
I am more optimistic, and that's really predicated on two things. You know, I belong to the generation. I remember when I was growing up, you know, during the 60s, young people then actually came up with the phrase, don't trust anyone over 30. So I remember how that went down, and here we are, you know, 50 years later. And, you know, I believe in cycles, and I think it's about time for young people to find their voice. I'm glad that it's happening, but I also believe that one significant reason is technology. They're able to organize quickly, get the message out rapidly, and you've got a time in the country now where maybe the people who have exercised power and dominion for a long time are more open to at least listening.
Don, along those lines, this is something that you have been sort of working in your headspace for a while about, okay, what can we do to present other options for some of these young people other than risking their future for scholarships, but taking such a humongous risk. I know prior to the horrors of of COVID that you had been working for a long time on a project called Pac Pro Football. I told our listeners about it earlier in the show, and we talked about it a few weeks back when your piece came out in the Atlantic. That would have provided some of these freshmen, sophomore, juniors other ways to showcase for NFL scouts, maybe even a safer way, and at the same time help them with their tuition, take care of them after they left the program. Do you still have hopes that there's some other model that might you and others, and with some help from corporations, might be able to devise to affect change at the NCAA level and also give these kids a chance to make some money doing what they do?
Yeah, I have zero doubt that there's going to be innovation and there will be a new model. I'm working on a pivot on my original concept, but there definitely will be a new model, whether I do it or somebody else does it, because virtually every industry in America and in the world, frankly, has been disrupted to some degree, and a lot of industries to a significant degree. College football and the NFL and the current professional football industrial complex, let's call it, hasn't changed really at all with respect to how the talent pipeline works. So the talent that goes to the NFL each year, as they're coming out of high school and they're trying to figure out how to get to their ultimate destination, they only have one pathway, and that's it. And from where I stand, and in my opinion, I kind of outlined it in the Atlantic, you've got significant powers that be, whether it be college football, whether it be the NFL, you've got politicians, and legislative leadership, the courts, the NLRB. At every turn, all of these forces have one way or another combined, either actively or constructively, to block alternate paths. So there's just been this one well-worn pathway to the NFL, and it's one that requires and needs desperate innovation at this particular time, and it's going to happen.
It's Inside Access, Jason Lockenfour, Ken Wyman. We're talking with Don Yee. And Don, I feel like this can't happen without the amateur athlete getting organized and to have one voice. How hard or easy would it be to get them organized so that they can push for change?
I think it's getting easier than ever. I just read a report. I think it was out of Kansas State University. I believe the players have organized there, and they've already said they will not practice or do anything else until, I guess, there is an apology or a discipline that they're demanding for another fellow student who is a non-football player that made an alleged racial comment about the football team there. We've seen data coming from the University of Missouri a few years ago when there was also arising out of another alleged racial incident. I think it was a university chancellor said something that was upsetting to the student body at large, and the football team organized and said that they would not play in the next game against BYU unless that administrator was removed, and the administrator ultimately was removed. I think about $1 million in revenue was at stake in that particular game. So the evidence is there. Now it's just a matter of what's the willpower among the athletes.
Well, and in the age of COVID, Donna, I wonder if these universities become more susceptible to litigation or maybe, you know, some government oversight if what's going on at these campuses keeps happening, where they brought in these kids for voluntary testing and now, you know, dozens of them on some campuses have had to be quarantined. The University of Oregon won't even say how many kids are being quarantined, how many tested positive. There's no transparency coming from some of these state universities. Alabama released some initial numbers, and then we've had reporters off of down there who say that after those first numbers came out, we can't get any answers about where they're keeping these kids, how they're being quarantined, who's helping them through quarantine, how are they getting fed, when can they go back to their families. I wonder if that maybe moves the ball as well if some of these schools push too hard and these kids are at risk.
I think all of these things are going to definitely advance the cause of the players. I think that, you know, we're in a time, as you said, of just incredible disruption. And I think they've also realized that they're the show. Yeah. People come to see them play. Their performances generate the revenue that sustain everyone else's livelihoods. and to a large degree, extensive capital campaigns by the universities at large. So, you know, as we move forward, I think we're going to see more and more of this, because once the players have had a taste of some ability to move the needle, I don't think there's any going back. And I think both of you guys know, for example, you know, there was a time in this country when we used to trot out our U.S. Olympic basketball team made up of amateur players.
Yep.
And then once we got beat by the Soviet Union, there was some discussion about letting professionals participate in the Olympics. But the Olympics, at the time, they were run by Avery Brundage, I believe it was at the time, and he was quite resistant to professionals participating in the Olympics, because the Olympics, the entire philosophy behind it at the time was that it was for amateur athletes. But once that change was made and we saw the Dream Team, I think it was, what,
92, Barcelona.
I'm sorry, right? Once we saw that and the fans were accustomed to seeing the very best in sports participate, whether or not they were professional or amateur, there was no going back. And so that type of thing will happen here.
Don, how soon, in your opinion, do you think we see collegiate football players, basketball players get some sort of compensation for their work?
I believe that within the next 12 to 18 months, there will be a seismic shift. We've got about 129 schools that play Division I football at the moment. I believe within the next 18 months or so, it's very possible 30 to 40 schools drop out because they no longer can afford it. I think that also there will be major Power Five conferences thinking about breaking away from the NCAA as well and forming their own unique conferences where they have their own rules, which may include compensation.
Don,
so in a very short time.
Sorry. Ken's dog gets a little restless around five every day. I'm sorry,
I think he was
broadcasting
what I just
home.
Said.
Yes, Brucey is all for what you said, Don.
Don, I was going to say you were also at the forefront of putting together some in-season training camps, basically under the auspices of Pac-Pro, for young veteran free agents to kind of showcase them, rather than have these guys flying around every Tuesday meeting with teams, but you know, maybe not always getting a fair shake, and especially in the era of COVID, I don't know that it makes a whole lot of sense for the NFL to be expanding. They don't even have bubbles, but to be expanding, bringing people in season into their facilities who may or may not have been exposed to it to work out for teams. I've heard from a lot of football people, execs, who feel like if the NFL is going to get through this season, and I'm not sure they are, but if they're going to, adopting a model similar to what you had been doing with these camps might be the way to go, where we identify a workforce of 100 guys or whatever, we find a way to quarantine them, we put them at a facility, but it's staggered throughout the day. They work with former NFL coaches. We know they're in shape. We know they're 40 times. We know they're healthy. We know they're taking care of themselves. And that they could work out virtually for teams, and then you're only bringing one guy to your facility on a Tuesday to sign him, rather than five or six guys, none of whom you might sign.
Right. The new product that we're going to publicly reveal, hopefully within the next 30 days here, will have that type of product available. And, in fact, this morning I was speaking to NFL executive about what you just described. And so, you know, the NFL knows, I mean, they've got their hands full, obviously, like every other major sports league, in trying to develop protocols to just get the season underway. And that's going to require very intense work. And I believe that one of the safeguards will be limiting the amount of non-team members, restricting their access to the facility. But if you do that and you've got to replenish your roster, you've got to figure out some way to scout new talent to be able to bring them aboard once you lose a player. And so this is the type of thing we're discussing right now. I think the league's much more open to innovative ways of doing things, just like they did with the draft this year.
Talking to Don Yee, it's Inside Access, Jason Lockenfor, Ken Wyman. And Don's longtime, I've read for The Atlantic, but a longtime agent, represented a lot of players, including Tom Brady. And Don, I'm just curious, as much as you can feel comfortable telling us, how hard of a decision Was it for Tom to leave New England and then the decision to go to Tampa? How difficult a process was it?
Number one, logistically, it was incredibly difficult because free agency started right around when the country started shutting down. Then emotionally, obviously it was a very, very difficult decision for him. It's the only place that he's known. Boston was home. A lot of affection for the organization from ownership on down, as well as from a sports standpoint, tremendous success. So it was a very, very difficult decision, and just also happened to hit at a difficult time in the country.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we all hope we get to see, Tommy and the creamsicle watch this season unfold. It would be something else, but some of this is just going to be out of everybody's hands as well in terms of how this country deals with this crisis.
Yeah, I think it's really hard for us to even predict where the country's going to be next weekend of 4th of July right now, yeah. Jason. But yeah. If it does happen, I do think it will be exciting.
Don, before we let you go, Jason and I have this debate on the show. We ask every guest this question. It's a simple question. Are you a bar soap or body wash person?
Bar soap.
My man.
Not even a doubt.
No equivocation. We're up 39-31. We're hot. We're on fire. You know what? We're restoring order to the world, Don. One bar soap at a time. We're doing our part here.
Don, seriously, your piece in The Atlantic was pretty brilliant, I really do appreciate you taking some time to talk with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on, guys.
If you get this going with the NFL, we got to have you back on to break it down for us.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.